Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonino, Julie Hayden. Truth Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you by HappyTrees.co. Great company, landscaping company, tree, nursery company. Take care of all of your landscaping needs. And Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McKellen.
All right, Julie. Well, midsummer, and we're approaching the end of the dead season politically, and we'll start heading into the very raucous general elections.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, we had Peter Boyles writes a column for our newspaper, the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, and had a conversation with him earlier today where he's wrong about everything. We'll talk about that and get your thoughts. But wanted to, today a bunch of things to talk about. We've got the Washington, D.C. mayor, which is a sanctuary city, complaining about
being a sanctuary city,
complaining about people coming there for sanctuary, saying they're being tricked into coming there.
It's such a beautiful place, too.
We'll talk about that. We want to talk about, and I'm glad I see Charlene is coming in. I see Sandra, Leo, get all your guys' thoughts and also call in, too. We talk a lot about grassroots and establishment. And I was saying, you know, we should talk about what exactly is grassroots, what exactly is establishment, and what's the difference, and how do you tell?
Well, you got a good analogy, Julie. Why don't you give that analogy? Well, I think it's really true.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like a beautiful woman or a handsome man, right? Most of us, it's kind of hard to define, you know, in actual words, if you talk about it, but most of us would agree if you see somebody, you're like, yeah, that person's good looking, that person's not quite as good looking, that person is drop dead gorgeous or handsome, whatever. Yeah, yes. All that kind of stuff. This from Sandra real quick. Good news, Peter still doesn't get it. That's true. We'll get into that without bashing him, but just pointing out how wrong he is. But we thought we'd go ahead and talk about, okay, what exactly is grassroots? What is establishment? How do you tell the difference? And why does the difference matter? Because, you know, again, we talked so much about it. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If we were trying to explain what it is.
No, but you know, within seconds or minutes of talking to somebody, if you get into politics at all, where they stand, I mean, with their establishment or whether they're grassroots, and there's really not a whole lot in between, to tell you the truth.
Right.
You usually tend to fall into one or the other. And I'm not sure, you know, you just do.
Right. And so we'll talk about that. But first I want to point out, Chuck, you called this again. So Heidi Ginnall, who won the primary for Colorado governor, we supported grassroots candidate Greg Lopez. And during the primary campaign, the Denver media loved Heidi Ginnall. She was moderate.
Well,
she was reasonable. Well, I mean, they loved her better than Greg Lopez and people like that. Right. And they talked about how horrible it'd be if Greg Lopez got
Thank God the Republican Party came to their senses.
And put in Heidi. Okay, so that took like what? 2 days, less than a week, maybe a little week and a half for them to immediately start trashing poor Heidi Ginnall. So Heidi Ginnall chose a running mate today, African-American Navy veteran, decorated war hero by the name of Danny Moore from Arapahoe County. He owns a private business guy there. I don't get the impression he's been particularly active in politics candidacy, but
he got chosen as the head of the redistricting commission until they throw him out.
Right. So we've got all that going on, but it took the Denver Post about 2 weeks to start trashing her. So he apparently was at one point on this redistricting commission, and they threw him off because he had posted in Facebook that he had questions about the 2020 election. He also called the COVID, he called it the Chinese virus. Ooh. And he said that CNN lied to people about COVID. Oh my God, you can't do that.
No.
So this is the headline in the Denver Post today. Colorado GOP nominator for governor picks election denier as a running mate. all they talk about is he's an election denier. Now, I want to point a couple of things out about this. Election denier, you'd think that'd be like the Pythagorean theorem or, you know, the laws of thermodynamics, something well established. Everybody understands it. The media, the drive-by media, made up this term, election denier.
If you don't believe Joe Biden was perfectly elected, then you're an election denier.
Yeah, I mean, well, and even if they don't like you, you don't even have to be an election denier. If they just don't like you, you're an election denier.
Well, quite frankly, Moore now says that Biden, you know, was a winner.
And he's
no longer election denier, but he was election denier.
It's kind of like, and he made like a post on Facebook, right?
He made
a post on Facebook at a time when everyone was making posts. So, but they toss this term around, election denier, as if it's some legitimate term that everyone agrees on, everybody understands, and everybody supports. And then they throw it around to criticize him. So I will give Heidi Genau and her campaign credit for this. They're not being fooled by the fact that the corporate lamestream media is calling her running mate an election denier. They're refusing, and actually the Colorado Sun says, they're refusing to comment on the controversy. Now, this is the controversy that they created, right? Using terms made up.
Even Phil Anschutz, Colorado Politics, kind of lambasted. And they're the ones who went into Moore's Facebook posts and other ones.
Right,
and
they scoured it. They scoured the social media, right.
And so, to me, it's a dumb pick, one. It's just, if you're going to be the establishment candidate, you know, don't do anything to annoy these.
I wonder if this is maybe she doesn't
need any more negative publicity, but it doesn't really matter. She has no chance. They don't really care. They're just hoping that they can be sent.
This is from Charlene. Election fraud denier is a scientific term. You're right. You're right, Charlene. We need to follow the science on election deniers. Well, here's the thing. This goes back to what you said. Do not any candidate, if you're a Republican, be fooled or, you know, be Mitt Romney'd by the corporate media, right? They love you right up until the time you actually get the nomination, and then they hate you and they will attack you. I was going to say, to their credit, though, they just said, look, Joe Biden is the president, Jared Polis is the governor. We hope to flip both of those things. And so they're not falling into the trap. I mean, she's not running around apologizing.
It's just negative publicity.
Right.
So, and she's getting attacked, and they're all the same. I mean, Phil Anschutz.
This is from Sandra. Why in the hell didn't Heidi choose Greg Lopez as a running mate?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
He was going to pick somebody named Lopez, but it's Felix Lopez. They say we have an Hispanic male, represents rural, would seem to be better, but apparently Felix thought differently of wanting to be a running mate on a ticket that probably can't win.
Right. Okay. Then we've got Sandra. This is from Sandra. The Denver Post is so small, a daily subscription wouldn't support a parrot. That's true. Mm-hmm. And you've got Casper. Casper Stockham, I see, is weighing in. Casper, you put on an event here. Everybody, if you're on Zoom, Casper's posted an event. You can find out if you're not on Zoom and you're just listening. This is going on Wednesday, HeidiForGovernor.com. And Casper has answers to everything. Casper, why don't you?
Come on, Casper. Come on down.
Unmute yourself and keep it. So, first of all, a couple of questions before we get to the event. What do you think about the Denver Post headline? Colorado GOP nominee for governor picks an election denier as a running mate. I mean, boy, did they turn on her quick, huh?
I knew that Kyle Clark and Marshall and the gang were going to pounce on anybody that even dares question the election.
Right.
And I had an interview with Marshall literally about an hour ago. Marshall from Nine News.
Marshall Zellinger.
Yeah. So Nine News has never called me in 10 years about anything. but they wanted to know about this election stuff, you know. So
what did you say? What are your thoughts?
Well, he asked me, you know, did I feel betrayed that Heidi told, because I did a radio host sub for Reggie Rocco on 560, and I had Heidi on, and she told me she was going to announce a Hispanic
running mate,
male, LT,
running
urban,
mate, yeah.
Rural.
Yeah.
Man.
So Marshall asked me, he said, "Do you feel betrayed that she didn't actually go through with that?" I said, "Not really, because first of all, this is politics. Who knows what happened behind the scenes? You know,
right."
He might have backed out. She might have backed out. Who knows? But at the end of the day, she did announce Danny Moore as her running mate. And I think it's an excellent choice. In fact, I actually suggested. I suggested dating for 200.
There you go. Yeah. All right, Casper, are you controlling Colorado politics the now? Maker. Secretly, the you're the kingmaker. There you go. So you scuttled the one guy and got the other guy in. So
no, I didn't even know the other guy. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, and then he said, well, you know, but aren't you concerned that he's an election denier? And I'm like, dude, everybody is an election denier when they lose. You know, that's what they do. So I don't think any of my interview with Marshall is going to make it anywhere on
well,
the airwaves.
Well, they're going to call you an election denier. Now, you said you can answer the Greg question. Is that?
Yeah.
What's your insight into that?
Yeah. So I've talked with Greg at length and Lisa, his wife, and also with Heidi. And there was so much animosity between the two camps.
Yeah.
I said, look, my dream team would have been either Greg as governor and Heidi as lieutenant or vice versa.
Right.
And Heidi said she doesn't believe it could ever happen because of all the animosity. And Greg's team said the same thing. So I said, well, this is great. This is wonderful. So the people that we, you know, that we vote for and care about are nowhere in the, you know,
they're
the
not
process.
Unifying
well,
either.
Yeah, do they really think that John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson were bosom buddies when he picked them in 1960? Nobody
Joe
likes
and Kamala?
Look at, yeah, I mean, nobody look likes her VP or lieutenant even, governor. That's the dumbest even, thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, even Reagan picked Bush, right? They didn't like each other.
No, you never like your VP. The whole point of your VP is that people who don't like you do like your VP. If they liked your VP, what good does it do you?
Exactly.
For both of them, you got to go, you guys are crazy. Just like vice president, lieutenant governor is maybe one of the great welfare jobs ever. You never do anything. I mean, you're just a joke. Right.
So that's why Greg, you know, wasn't in the mix. You know, it was just too much distance to come back together.
Too much helpfulness. Too much.
You could see
maybe
some time would have been. Yeah, you do want to think if Joe Biden could get over Kamala Harris calling him a race, although maybe he didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you first two things. Then I want you to go ahead and promote our Heidi event you wanted to talk to. But then, like I said, we wanted to talk about, because we always talk about grassroots establishment. Exactly. Yeah. What is grassroots? What is establishment? And how do you tell the difference? But first, the promotion.
So on Wednesday at noon, Heidi and Danny, myself and Heidi's whole team, we will be at JJ's place in Aurora off of Chambers Road. And it's going to be a meet and greet, you know, get to meet Danny and all the other stuff. So I will be there as well. And unofficially, I will be very involved with the campaign. I'll have more official news for you later.
Oh, yay.
But I will be very
You'll
involved.
You'll be assistant lieutenant governor or assistant to the assistant lieutenant governor.
Chief of staff.
Chief of something, yeah. So we'll be talking about that. Maybe talking about that at the event. I'm not sure.
Okay, good. Well, good luck at that.
So I just literally just came back from a luncheon. At the Jefferson County Men's Breakfast, which is now a luncheon. And I was saying, look, I get everybody's mad, and you know, they got the grassroots, which I consider myself grassroots. I voted grassroots. I voted for Greg Lopez. I voted for Ron Hanks, Tina Peters, the whole line. All those folks lost. But we still have to figure out how to move forward. So there's a time to fight and there's a time to vote. And right now is the time to vote. We can fight after the election. We can all complain about, see, I told you, you know, the establishment is never going to win and whatever. We can have all those discussions, but let's wait until after the election. Let's get behind someone that we can. Maybe it's not Joe Day. Maybe it's not Pam Anderson. But get behind someone, Heidi or a local candidate, whoever.
Somebody running for assistant dog catcher.
Well, even that, I'm saying.
In a rural area, we can
pull. And that's a
well,
whole
let me, let me no. point out another thing. And the Colorado Politics did have an article on this. So the El Paso County Republicans had their traditional summer Lincoln Days dinner. And of course, we know that the establishment doesn't like the chairman of the El Paso one.
Vicki Tompkins.
And so she'd bring in Lauren Boebert. And so then they being Eli Bremmer, Mr. 13%, as they call him, because that's what he took. He and his beautiful wife, who's some kind of hack politician, have now have the one at their house, and they're going to have, you know, Larry Liston, Gardner. There's these. I'm sure KBB will show up, and everyone else.
They're going to exact same. They're going to have a Lincoln Day at their house the same night.
Yeah, yeah, same night, exact same time. just to show you how much they care about the grassroots. I mean, how much they want to show the grassroots that they really need them. I mean, it's just a joke.
So,
it's just
a joke. So, okay, but here's how we win on both sides, right? So if you have grassroots and you say, you know what, I just can't vote for Joe O'Day. Okay, great. Then find someone you can vote for.
Daniel Nussbaum. Get behind Daniel Nussbaum.
Get behind somebody you can support, Eric Island, whoever, wherever you live, right? Get behind that candidate. Get behind Arapahoe County Coroner, Ron Bouchard, somebody. And then support them, and then let the Joe O'Days or whoever fall by the wayside. Because if they don't have grassroots support, they're not going to win anyway. So let's get behind the candidates we want to get across the finish line. And then focus on
those. I think you're right. I mean, the point is, I think what you're saying is, and because then I don't want to move on to get your definitions, but yeah, don't just throw everything out, right? Go ahead.
Leave that coroner candidate, that all-important coroner candidate.
That's what Dave Williams was sort of saying, too. You know, so their state and House.
I'm the campaign manager for Ron Bouchard. He's a Arapahoe County coroner. Republican. He is someone you guys need to interview. You're gonna like.
Okay.
Nice. Have him
contact us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get him in touch with you guys.
All right. Let me ask you then. So definitely, because we were talking, and I was saying earlier, grassroots establishment. When you try to, it's kind of like saying, "What's a really handsome guy like you and Chuck? Gorgeous women like me and Charlene and Sandra and Dr. Donna."
Everybody agrees about that.
Everybody agrees about that, but it's hard to actually put into words. How would you define grassroots or define establishment, or if it's easier, how do you tell the difference?
Can you smell them?
No.
I can smell them coming a mile away. So the way that I identify grassroots this cycle is America First. If you cannot say America First, then you're not grassroots. If you can't talk about patriotism, if you can't talk about election integrity without, you know, saying, oh my God, then you're not grassroots.
No.
If you can't talk about the fact that there may be some issue, but maybe some issues with the vaccine and the whole COVID thing, then you're not grassroots. The establishment are the ones that go along with the shutdowns, that, you know, can't say election integrity, can't say America First, you know, are comfortable with the shot, man. As many times as you want to get shot. You know,
please. Vaccine. Get more.
I would agree absolutely with that. Sometimes it's hard to define, but it's like what they do or don't talk
about. Well, establishment people, one, tend to be well-off financially, or they live off well-off financially.
What is that, too? Yeah.
I mean, there's no such thing as a grassroots consultant other than maybe yourself.
And
you know how rich you are.
I know how rich you are. And so, you know, and they're always, you know, we have Heidi Pitchfork here, who is a sociology. If someone's a sociology major in college, they were not grassroots. They just weren't. They just weren't. And you kind of believe the Democrats are right, but they're too extreme. So you believe that you ought to have, you know, you ought to be able to kill the baby up into a day before, but not after it.
And
you don't care about guns because you want red flag laws like George Brockler. Or you believe that, you know, southern border is nice. We ought to open it up to the entire world, or maybe
so they can come work for us cheap.
Yeah, work for us cheap, do our gardening, you know, drive the car, other things.
Run our computer
helpful
systems.
Yeah, well, yeah, who knows? But so it's there's a sense of entitlement to establishment people. They feel entitled. Joe O'Day is probably a somewhat different type of establishment guy, but some way similar. Ran a successful company. He's got lots of money now. Thinks that he ought to be of a place in the deal. And he's abortion. Yeah, that's okay with him. Roe v. Wade. Good. You know, he's supported people like Hickenlooper and others.
Bennett.
But now he wants to run. The Democratic Party wouldn't have him clean their urinals. I mean, he'd be so far off, you know, white redneck boy who has a law enforcement parent or step parents. I mean, so he only feels comfortable in the Republican Party socially. You know, right. He feels, you know, he probably can't talk to Phil and the Coors and everything else. But if he gets into the U.S. Senate, they'll be calling in for favors. And you're absolutely right. The big breakdown does become America First and MAGA. And if you think like Ken Buck, is Ken Buck grassroots? No.
And he can't say America First. So
you know, no, yeah. It's KBB grassroots. No, mm-hmm. She fooled us when she ran against you and you endorsed her. And I think that was a good endorsement. But she ends up being worse than the guy who he hated. I mean.
All right. Well, listen, Kirsten, we will let you go. Keep us posted on Wednesday, okay? So that's Wednesday. JJ's in Aurora at noon. Uh-huh. And, you know, let us know if Marshall Zellinger calls you and if you're going to be on TV anymore. We can.
I don't think Marshall's going to call me for a while.
That's because
one of the last things I said was, because he says, it was about the election. I said, look, Biden's in the White House, but we want him out of there as soon as possible. He said, thank you for the interview. Boom.
Boom. Oh, there you go. So wait, and boom. So they didn't even come to your house anymore? They just interview you on the phone?
Oh, no, Zoom. Yeah, Zoom.
Zoom,
yeah.
A Zoom. Okay. Oh.
And he was wearing a mask until we started.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. What a freak job. Yeah. What a freak job.
Well, you might have given him COVID through the...
It's possible. You know, because you know, I'm just dripping with COVID, so I can just sling it.
Oh, you're a COVID denier too. So, all right, Casper, thank you. Good luck on Wednesday. We look forward to hearing about your next.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, there you go. Casper Stockham there. All right, so we'll go back and let's read some of the comments. So, guys, grassroots versus establishment. What's the difference? How do you tell? Why does it matter? Let me read some of the comments. This is from, from Steve. They brought up, this is from Steve. Johnny, I read a baseball book once. It ain't cheating if you don't get caught. Mm-hmm. From Charlene, we're not even facing the problem, but working on solutions to problem. We wish for the issue. Go TV is a solution to what we wish is the problem. All right, Charlene, I'm not sure what all that is. Then Leo says, 10 minutes into your first interview with KBB, I called fraud. I think you did, Leo, because we liked her at first. No, then Johnny, yes, we did. We had Christy
Burt Brown.
We thought
she was better than her opponent. Well, we were
right,
wrong.
Right. Then Johnny, crazy Democrat with the mask. So I would say Casper's right. Well, let me back up. I think the thing about establishment, I think that you got to understand is that what they are about mostly, I think, is power.
Power.
Oh, totally. And grassroots people are more about
issues
and principles, right? And that's true. I think on the Democrat side and the Republican side, right? And the Democrats, the Democrat establishment, rather, the rich Democrats, this is where it gets tricky. They're about issues. Pat Stryker, right? You've got Catherine Murdoch. They have their issues and they'll just donate to Democrats no matter what for their issues.
Donors.
Republican donors
about themselves.
Are about themselves. And so what they want to do is establishment. They want to hold on to what's established because that's where their power is. And anything that threatens that, they just don't like. They don't care if it's a good idea. They don't care if you're a great articulate person. They don't care if the rest of the people want to vote for you. If you are a threat to their established position, they don't
even
like
if
you.
They don't have one, but they think they should have one.
Right. And they will work really hard to get rid of you. And I think that's why they want establishment candidates, because they have their own agenda that doesn't really have very much to do with us, right? It has to do with maybe their own, like you say, Phil Anschutz's political philosophy a little bit, but largely as business. And so they work just as hard as the Democrats to get rid of the grassroots candidates. But a grassroots candidate, I think largely, and grassroots people, like you said, on the issues, they will say, make America great again. They will say, yeah, clearly. I mean, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that the ballot drop boxes were illegal.
No,
I don't know. That's a problem. That's not, you know, so now I'm an election denier. I think grassroots people have no money. That's another thing.
If you have any money, you're not a grassroots person.
Yeah.
And by money, you know, a stinky few million isn't money these days.
No.
I mean, you gotta have you know, at least 100 million, 200 million. And even then, that doesn't count. Half a billion in
right.
Count.
And this is, so guys, go ahead and weigh in, either on Zoom and read it, or if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. How do you tell a grassroots candidate from an establishment candidate? Because they're always going to try to trick you, right? The establishment candidates are going to call the grassroots candidates liberal and establishment to trick us into voting for them. And then they're going to tell us, oh, no, I'm grassroots. I love grassroots. Oh, and then, like I said,
I don't even
mind Eric Ovlin like you do. But when you asked him,
I don't mind Eric Ovlin. He just doesn't stand for anything in particular. He's not a bad guy, unlike Barbara Kirchmeier, who is a bad person, a bad human being.
Oh.
Ovlin seems like a good human being, but just a typical establishment guy.
Charlene, that was a blonde moment when I said go TV. It's like, Charlene says, get out the vote.
Julie.
This is Julie. Oh, duh. We can get out the vote, but who is going to count them?
Yeah.
This is from Johnny. I'm not on the radar yet to be called an election denier, but I'm waiting.
Johnny, you'll know you've made it when they call you an election denier.
Johnny for Colorado, HouseDistrict5.com. But why don't we, so what's the difference? This is from Steven. It's always about money, power, and control, whether you are a GOP establishment or a Bolshevik Democrat in government. Then Stephen asks, Leo, would KBB be GOP chair if she were not a relatively attractive female who can talk a good game? Sandra, anyone who supports Dick Wadhams is establishment. Yeah, I mean, you could.
Dick Wadhams supports is establishment.
Is establishment because that's your establishment money. And here's why it matters, because again, establishment candidates are going to try to trick you. And when you
anybody that John Caldera supports is establishment. He keeps on calling himself a red meat Republican or red meat conservative. And while telling you, you ought to vote for every establishment person. If you don't,
Here's another thing. This is how you can tell establishment from grassroots. If you say to somebody, are you establishment or grassroots? And they say, I'm conservative. That's establishment, right? If you can't say grassroots, because to the establishment, grassroots
are crazy.
They're crazies. And then the media is in lockstep with them, trying to play anyone who's grassroots as a nut job, right? And so the establishment piles on. So if you are a candidate, you have a terrible uphill battle. You've got uphill battle financially. You've got an uphill battle against the liberal media who want to call you an election denier, like that's something.
The harvest
who wear
voters.
A mask while they interview you on Zoom.
Marshall Zayn is wearing a mask.
I like him. I mean, why on earth? Now, there may be an insane Channel 9 policy that he has to wear a mask if there's a photographer in the room. But even then, why are you still working for that company? But I think then you have the media against you. You have the establishment against you. And sometimes you can tell by who's for you, like you said, and who's against you, whether you're established.
Here's a tip for guys. If somebody says, what's that cologne you're wearing? Establishment.
Let's see, from Charlene. KBB jumped on the grassroots train to get to be chair. Look who backs them then. You know exactly. From Stephen, establishment candidates have talking points and mention the issues, but they have no solutions or core principles. They won't voice support for 2A. See who endorses them. Sandra, anyone who supports George Brockler is establishment.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Charlene, the left will use rhino candidates to marginalize America First, Trump, and Trump no supporters. Yeah, so they don't. And again, that's because what they want is to keep things the same. They want to keep themselves in power, and they'll do anything to keep themselves in power, you know? And now the Democrat in Colorado, we want to talk more about this, because what Casper was talking about, how do you vote? Who do you vote for? Do you vote? Because the trouble is, I think in Colorado, the main donor is establishment, like it or don't like it. Phil Anschutz is the main donor. The other donors in Colorado, we learned this from George Anthonisopoulos when he was trying to get support for various issues. Phil Anschutz didn't want anything to do with the issues, right? Mm-hmm. Phil Anschutz is not an issues guy. He is a candidate guy because he wants a candidate who will help him out. And I don't blame him for that.
They'll do issues. He gave to John Caldera, I don't know, $12 million, and they have it banked up for issues they want, which will usually be tax cuts for Phil or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, projects that will benefit him. It's not going to be for, I mean, I think wasn't George talking to them about, you have to be an American citizen to vote. I don't think Phil Anschutz cares about that, right? Because that doesn't help him or hurt him one way or the other. It hurts him, I would argue. But so you've got that. And until he's old, and so who knows how much longer he'll be around. But until he goes away or decides not to play, this is the field that we have to play on as grassroots, right? And you're always going to have less money.
I guess maybe it's a little piece of sod. It's a garbage pit.
Well, I was being a little bit more hopeful than that.
The garbage pit we play in.
We're going to be talking about this until the midterms because there is a lot. I kind of like what Casper said.
And Dave, so do I.
Steve Williams said the same thing. Okay, you know, don't hold your nose and vote for somebody if you don't want to. On the other hand, though, don't throw everything out.
Try to find somebody somewhere.
Well, you know, the House districts in Colorado. Yeah,
Stephanie Locke, and there are a few others.
That's right. Here we got more comments. Let's see, from Johnny Johnson, I only spent $800 and don't plan on spending any more. From Charlene, no way to win in the party as America First. It's all about globalism. Exactly. And from Leo, Stephen, yes, everybody talks election integrity, but no one says what a solution would be. Yeah, you know, I mean, these are the people that I would pay attention to. To me, the election integrity issues are pretty simple, really. Number one, get rid of ballot harvesting, make it illegal. And let everybody know
that it's illegal. Mail-in ballots. Three, make only with a reason absentee ballots. Four, have paper ballots. And then we've got an
and the only day
you can vote is on election day.
Now I'm gonna push back a little bit on that I agree with you. Some of them, I think mail-in ballots are here to stay. But what I think,
I don't doubt they're here to stay. I'm just saying they're bad.
But I think we can win possibly.
Yes, you could if you didn't have ballot harvesting.
Well, no, but I mean, we get rid of ballot harvesting. Clean the voter rolls, right? Because people agree with that, right? People say, well, yeah, you should be a registered voter.
You think Janet Griswold goes, oh, the people want this?
No, I mean, well, that's why she doesn't verify. I mean, that's why it all goes back, as we've done a show on before, all of that goes back into a George Soros funded system, right, that makes sure that no one can clean the voter rolls. And then they sell all that information to the Democrats so they can manipulate it, which is why I think one of the first things to do is get rid of ballot harvesting. If you get rid of ballot harvesting, that's a big hurdle for the Democrats to overcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you reading the comments?
Trying to.
It's okay. Let's see. We won't get our country back, Charlene. We won't get our country back through elections. And then Leo says, Chuck, yes. Why do they think there's a Colorado law that you can get time off work to vote? From Johnny, you don't even have to have an ID to vote. Public service bill will do. You don't have to have anything to vote anymore, Johnny, I would say. And then from Sandra, only have ballot boxes in courthouses, sheriff's offices, and always have the cameras on. That's also true. I mean, if you're going to make ballot harvesting illegal, you need to have the systems in place to enforce that. It's all about the World Economic Forum. This is from Charlene, and Soros reaching deep at the local level. Well, yeah, George Soros figured that out, right?
Yeah.
If you can disrupt society, if you have district attorneys who won't prosecute crimes, if you have secretaries of state who won't enforce election integrity laws. You can pretty much do whatever you want. Some states, they're pushing back, right? They've made Zuckerbucks illegal. Mm-hmm. They've gone back, like I said, in Alaska, in Wisconsin, they said the drop boxes are illegal. We'll see what happens there. But I think this ongoing discussion, grassroots establishment, because I think it matters. If we, I think I was saying last week, I was talking with some other moms where I've had like a play date kind of thing. And they were talking about choices that they were having to make, hard choices because of gasoline prices and travel choices. We were talking, somebody today was just saying they were going to fly back to Chicago, the whole family can't afford it. Right. So they're not going to go see the grandparents this summer. It was $1,000 a ticket.
Yeah.
They said, that's insane. Right. But these moms are like, well, it'll go down someday. And I didn't want to get too political at a play date, but I'm like, yeah, someday, maybe 20 years from now. I mean, it's not going to go back. Number one, as long as the Democrats are in charge. And number two, as long as the establishment is in charge, because the establishment doesn't care. They don't care about that. I don't think that much, because it doesn't affect them that much.
No,
right.
No. Price of gas, that's irrelevant to them.
That's right. Well, you want to move on? You want to switch on to the mayor of D.C.? Okay, so this is, though, kind of talking about being hoisted on your own petard. So the governor of Texas, and I think the governor of Arizona,
Arizona. Not Doug Ducey.
Maybe
DeSantis in Florida.
Somebody, anyway. You're right, Texas, and there was another state. So they have, what did they say? There were 207,000 illegal immigrant contacts in the month of June. Now, that's a contact. That's not the people who were just coming across the border. Yeah. That's the people that they managed to actually have contact with. Now, granted, you know, keep in mind, it didn't say the people that they stopped from coming in. This is just the people that they had contact with, right? So they had that was 207,000 in June. Okay, there are more illegal immigrants here that they can count than there are population in many of the states, right? And they're just letting them flow into Texas. And we've seen stories all over the place about businesses and governments in Texas, local governments saying, we can't handle this, right? I mean, it's not really about pros and cons of immigration. This is an economic reality that and a safety, public safety reality that we can't handle this kind of influx. So in Texas, they started shipping them in buses up to Washington, D.C., a sanctuary city. You'd think they would be happy. You'd think they would have welcome mats out, say, welcome, illegal immigrant, homeless, criminal, rapist, child trafficker, illegal alien, criminal.
Got some fentanyl?
Prices have gone up for here in D.C., so we're hoping you can bring it down. You'd think as a sanctuary city, they would be very happy.
Bring us your poor. Bring us your oppressed.
Bring us all your criminal illegal aliens. But guess what? They're not excited about it.
They're whining about it.
They're whining about it, and they want Joe Biden to do something to stop it. Now, they don't want Joe Biden to close the border.
No, they just
want him to make that stupid Texas governor to quit sending these buses. If we could please play the Bowser soundbite. This is Mayor Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser.
Post reported last week that homeless shelters in D.C. were filling up and groups were getting overwhelmed by these buses that the governors of Texas and Arizona are sending here full of migrants. How significant is this influx? How many people?
Well, this is a very significant issue. We have for sure called on the federal government to work across state lines to prevent people from really being tricked into getting on buses. We think they're largely asylum seekers who are going to final destinations that are not Washington, D.C. I worked with the White House to make sure that FEMA provided a grant to a local organization that is providing services to folks, but I fear that they're being tricked into nationwide bus trips when their final destinations are places all over the United States of America.
Now, what on earth is she even talking about there? So who's, are they, what, they're getting on the bus and say, oh, this bus is going to, I mean, what is she talking about? They're being tricked. These are people who enter the country illegally.
They're being tricked. How dare you trick them?
I mean, what do you mean they're being tricked? No, they don't care where they're going. They're asylum seekers. So they're going, where are they going?
Where they go? Washington, D.C. What a great place.
Why are they going to your homeless shelters? These are people who don't have anywhere else to go. In Texas, they're saying, we can't handle this many homeless people. And not homeless, like you would think. These are people who are coming to this country. They have no home. They have no job. They don't have some contact they're meeting who's going to give them a job at the local TV station or something like that.
They want to go to Miami.
Right. Yeah. So they're going anywhere that they're going to be giving them free stuff. I can't blame them. Right. I mean, I would do that too. But she's like, they're being tricked. I mean, what does she mean? Number two, why is she even complaining about that? Right.
That's so absurd.
I mean, they're a sanctuary city. Well, she's complaining about it because I'm sure it's causing problems.
Right.
And the same problems that it was causing in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's causing in Washington, D.C. Yeah, exactly.
They're being tricked. How dare they?
That's right. And this is from Leo. Do they shake hands or do a fist bump to be counted for being encountered? That's right. It's a fist bump. From Stephen, the border crisis is all part of Obama's fundamental transformation of America. Right. Oh, there you go, Stephen. I bet you're an election denier, too, if you're talking about replacement. Trump won from Stephen in 2016 because he said he'd build the wall, cut taxes, and repeal Obamacare. It looked like they were giving out some sort of a pie to ride.
Pad ride, yeah.
I mean, that's just so silly. Well, but again, I think that's brilliant of Texas. Go ahead and let the Democrat cities have the problems that they've created.
Yeah, especially Washington, D.C. Now, that is great that she's whining about it, claiming they've been hoodwinked.
Right. Well, and then
why would anybody want to come to the nation's capital? It's a hellhole here.
It is.
They're saying it's a nice place. They're tricking these people.
That's true. Will you also be talking about POLIS giving benefits, i.e. dental insurance, family service, business permits, professional licenses to illegal aliens that Breitbart's been talking about? I think we need this information out. Hold POLIS's feet to the fire. Yeah, Sandra, you're absolutely right. So POLIS has signed a bill, right, that gives all of these free services to illegal immigrants. Now, keep in mind, also last week, a story came out that in Colorado, what was it, 25%? Significantly healthcare insurance. So if you're just a regular person trying to get healthcare insurance, it's going up 200 a month. I mean, something significant. It was a significant jump. I know mine went up $200 a month, right? Which is almost double of what it was. But if I was an illegal immigrant, I could get it for free unless they tricked me and put me on a bus to Washington, D.C.
And told you it was a nice place.
And told me it was a nice place. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. It's funny because I think Face the Nation clearly was doing a friendly interview with her.
No, they wouldn't do that. Well, Margaret Brennan?
Trying to give her a reason to complain about it, right? To complain about Texas, not realizing just how hypocritical they looked, right?
That's hilarious. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, this is from Johnny Johnson. You can cross state lines to kill your babies, but they don't want illegals. Oh, that's right. It's going to be breakfast tacos for everybody.
Yay!
There. But yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous and it's not stopping. And I think that if I were Texas and if I were any of those states, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
But,
I would
but
say
a lot more.
Right. Well, and again, how does she think they're tricking them? These people are getting on. They, you know,
they're saying it's a very nice place with good political leaders and it's the nation's capital. And it's, you know, you're tricked.
Yeah, you're tricked. You're tricked. Well, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know, Julie. Let's see what else is out there.
You know, there was once again a good guy with a gun. Stopped a shooting at an Indiana mall.
And they're mad about that.
They're mad about that. Yeah. I don't know what they would rather have happen. Would they have
everybody
rather
killed? And so we got more gun laws.
And the cop said that he was a hero and it was an unarmed, somebody shot and killed three people.
Yeah.
Right. And then an armed civilian with a gun carrying legally shot and killed the bad
luckily,
guy. Kind of like what happened.
Luckily,
in
it was not part of the Uvalde police force, and they actually intervened before other people got killed.
Right. Or like in Arvada, where the police then shot him.
Right.
That
was good.
But you're right. The gun opponents, anti-gun people, are mad about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. Why are they mad?
Well, because he protected them and they didn't have a big enough slaughter. It's similar to that poor guy in New York who is being arrested and in jail for defending himself when this thug came up and started attacking him. And they go, oh, no.
So he attacked, he hit back with a knife, and now he's facing first-degree murder charges?
Yeah, fair.
Fair. This is from Leo. That's another reason for state legislators. POLUS cannot sign a bill that has not passed. Exactly. And back to Casper's point, that's why if you're going to find a grassroots, because there are grassroots House district candidates and Senate candidates. Senate is... from Charlene. Oh, no, Julie, $200 a month. Are you paying an illegal's health care premium? I'm paying for something, Charlene. I'm paying because you know what? I don't even ever get sick. So I don't know what I could probably buy myself a hospital with all that I'm paying for insurance for me and Rev right now. And this, I guess we need doctors, but no, it's ridiculous. And again, this is an election year. And then have you noticed the 27 cent fee that they're now charging for if you get Amazon delivered, if you have DoorDash, they're charging Uber.
That delivers a product or anything else by car or truck is getting charged an extra 27 cents thanks to the guy who's cutting all your taxes, Jared Polis.
I'm giving you your Tabor money back, which the law requires. Well, and here's what's even worse. I've been reading that this is costing businesses tons of money and confusion because they just passed this law, but it's not clear how are they supposed to collect it? How do they implement it? What do they do with the
money?
Right. Well, I mean, in small businesses, are like,
Dr. Donna, grassroots House candidate, Donna Walter, HD53. DonnaWalter.com.
Well, Dr. Donna, so tell us, but circling back around to our earlier conversation, what makes you grassroots? How do you distinguish between grassroots and establishment? And you can unmute yourself if you want to do that and just come on, or you can also just type the answers out there too.
Either one.
To me, because I just think it's important because you have establishment people, and I go back to, and I like Eric Garland, but that was a very bad answer he had the last time we had him on the show when you said, who are your grassroots donors? And he didn't know.
Some guy from Taylor County is actually establishment.
Right, exactly. Hey, Dr. Donna, are you there?
Yep, I unmuted myself. So grassroots. Well, if the party's not supporting you, there's a good chance you're grassroots.
That's right. That's true.
Right. I qualify there.
There you go.
And if you don't just go along to get along, somebody that knows the Constitution and just doesn't give it lip service, actually, I grew up understanding this since like 1963. Which makes me kind of probably boring at dinner parties, but hey, it's what I do and it's what I'm good at. So And you have to develop a discernment. I have noticed, and I'm thankful we have so many new people involved in this, but they don't understand that just because somebody calls themselves a Republican or conservative does not mean that they are.
Right.
Those who are incumbents and running again, look at their voting record.
Yes, go to Liberty Scorecard.
County that in, I think it was 2020, that we're on, we lost five seats in Weld County that were conservative. And now we do, you know, like Barb and some others, all five of them. And they got supported by dark money, the Democrat money. And now, we, like Vicky Marble, you know, cut, you know, Colorado Union of Taxpayers rated her, what, 98, 99, 100%. And now we have people that rate anywhere between 50 and 55%.
Right.
That is a shame.
Right.
So,
well, yeah, there's if you can't tell the difference in their voting record between, if you were to just cover up the R or the D and look at the voting record, and if you can't tell from that, then they're establishment, right? If they're grassroots, you can tell that they're grassroots.
Ask them, you know, well, in the last couple of years, what would you have done regarding masks, the jab? Those are some real clear answers, and if they avoid answering it, because you need to know specifically, because this is where a lot of these laws start from, and a mandate is not a law, and unfortunately we have a governor that likes to govern through executive order. So
right all right, well then one more time, since we've known you, so we endorse you as a grassroots candidate, where can people find out more about you? And as always, grassroots candidates need help, where can they help out?
DonnaWalter.com, and my antidote had been attacked. It's up and working now, and of course we're going to need help with anything and everything, you know, walking, calling, etc. And there was one of your listeners had offered, and I'm not sure what to do. My social media needs help with the Facebook and Twitter. And Mark, you might know him. He's an attorney, plus he does these other things on the side. He did the website. We're digging at Polis and Biden on that. But we don't know how to do the Facebook and Twitter. So
And I can tell you what, in my experience, that's a never ever shifting thing. I tried to boost our on Facebook. So what Facebook does is, if you're a business page in particular, when we first started doing it, we'd have thousands of people listening to us on Facebook because Facebook would show it, right? Now, sometimes they'll show it to like 13 people and they deliberately throttle it and they explain, well, it's a business. I mean, use the term loosely. It's not your Julie Hayden friend page kind of thing, right? So they throttle it. And then when you try to boost it, we had Dave Williams on talking about the election, and it said they would not boost it because we did not meet, we violated their community standards in talking about elections. So if you have a Facebook page, my advice to you is don't mention elections. Don't mention, I mean, it's insane. The censorship, guys, is gearing up. Make no mistake about it. They are zeroing in. I don't think they care about 2022 as much, but it's all a practice session for 2024. They are, Facebook and Twitter are both, Alex Berenson is saying Twitter is shadow banning him again, right? Yeah. They are gearing up to crack down on any kind of
anybody,
Republican. Yeah. Well, not Democrats and progressives. Well,
okay. I've been posting from my personal page, and maybe there's some way of connecting the two where it's not necessarily from the campaign.
They track it down. That's what we have. They won't even let Rev on his Oculus Quest. So I don't know. Seriously, he can't get into his Oculus Quest because it was linked to my Facebook page. So I guess I'm supporting you.
International terrorist.
Yeah, I'm supporting you in your need for help. So anybody who knows how to do that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Donna. Thank you very much. Well, I think, you know, we'll be talking, like I said, a lot about this, because I know people, a lot of our listeners here in the chat section have said, you know, they're not going to support an establishment candidate. Dave Williams was saying, find a candidate, just like Casper, find a candidate that you can support and support that person. Then you read some of the more establishment people on Facebook and things like that saying, no, we just need to win. But then the other thing is, well, if they just win, then all that does is cement the establishment position, right?
And they'll use any money they got to squash the...
Yeah, I mean, it is a dilemma, but I think it's important to continue talking about the difference.
I like that solution. Find, you know,
find somebody you can support.
Yeah.
Right, right. From Stephen. Well, Stephen, now you sound like Chuck. Mm-hmm. What if we can't find a candidate mm-hmm. that we can support? Well, there you go. There is that. There is that.
Coroner, Arapahoe County coroner.
With the election integrity in Colorado the way it is, you could probably vote for Arapahoe County coroner, whether you live there or don't. No, don't do that. Casper, I'm not advocating people do that. That is the dilemma. We can talk about Peter Boyles is wrong on this. We were talking and he thinks Donald Trump is going to announce before the midterms because he doesn't mm-hmm. want to go to jail for January 6th. And we were like, ooh, Peter, you've been drinking too much Kool-Aid.
way too much Kool-Aid.
I was like, no one cares about January 6th. Even the Democrats don't care about January 6th. They're just keeping it alive because they don't know what else to do. What else are they going to talk about, right? Saudi Arabia? No, that didn't go well. What are they going to talk about? The economy? No.
All right, read off that Casper's Corner one that you can...
Here's a corner candidate that we need to support. It's Ron, R-O-N, the number 4, Colorado.com.
All right.
Ron for Colorado.com. And then Johnny says, jail, what is Peter talking about? Okay, well, if you read Politico, every other day they breathlessly say criminal charges, criminal charges for Trump for January 6th. MSNBC has all these talking heads on saying, oh, the evidence is clear. Trump committed numerous crimes. Can't tell you what they are for January 6th. So any day now, they're going to arrest him, right? Just like they did John Eastman, just like they did all of these other people. Personally, I think Trump is like, please come arrest me. Please, please, please come arrest me, right? Can you imagine what would happen if they arrested Donald Trump for that? I just think that would be a mistake. Number one, it'd just be a mistake politically. Number two, there's nothing to arrest him for, right? The judges have already thrown out in various states when they try to say if you were at January 6th, you can't run for office. Right. They've already thrown that out. I think it's, and again, the biggest thing is no one cares. Joe Biden had 6% of Republicans had approved of him in the and the economy, only some 50% of Democrats approved. I mean, Joe Biden.
6% Republicans?
Yeah, I don't know who those
people are. Those establishments.
Well, that's establishment. They're like, well, we're billionaires. Mm-hmm. I don't even live in this country anymore. And they do. You know, so the poll numbers are awful, but people care about the economy. I think anyone who is running on anything other than the economy, public safety, I would throw in election integrity. if you're trying to talk about January 6th as your key campaign issue, I mean, no one is doing that, do you think?
Democrats probably are.
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi's trying, candidates
your husband's got to buy $1 million worth of a company that's about to get a huge government boost.
And this from Charlene, how is John Eastman? You know, we need to get him on, Charlene. That's a good idea to do an update. Remember, they harassed him, took his cell phone. He tried to get them. He tried to get a judge to block them having access to it. The judge didn't. I think it was a Washington, D.C. judge. You know, I think he's hanging in there.
Says Heidi Gonzalez, a rhino, can't hold my nose and vote for O'Day or Pamela Anderson, Keller. Otherwise, I'm stuck.
Well, we'll help you. You know what we will do, too? We'll help find some of the grassroots candidates. So all of you guys. We will scour the state. Who has some suggestions as well. That's going to do it for us. On Wednesday, we're going to have Robin Eitzler on. We talked about her column on Friday, talking about this exact same thing. What do you do? And she was saying, not going to hold my nose and vote for the establishment
candidates.
And next
Monday, we'll have Dick Morris on. So
no, not next Monday. The week after that. Dick Morris has
Ways away.
Yeah, Dick Morris, we'll keep you up to date. Has a new book about he's saying Trump's going to run in 2024.
I think he's going to announce before the midterms.
Not before the midterm. So that's what's coming up. Thank you to Casper for coming on. Thanks, guys, for all of the comments. Remember, you can catch all of the shows and subscribe to our show and follow us everywhere. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. Thank you to Thomas and the great guys at BBS, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Take care, everybody.